Welcome, everyone, to the Cup of Coffee podcast with me, Tom Dillon. This is being recorded live at our weekly online meeting and broadcast around the world. Today's topic is succession and estate planning with Jiten M. Shah of JMS Accounting Services Limited. Before we start, I'd just like to say by way of a disclaimer that today is a wonderful discussion, but that nothing said here constitutes financial advice and should always take professional advice before investing your hard-earned cash. There may be the odd unplanned swear word along the way as well. Right, the format for today is that we'll speak to us for a while, and then afterwards we'll have questions. So feel free to sort of store those up or pop them in the chat and we'll get through as many as we can at the end. In terms of introduction for Jiten, Jiten is an accountant, author and lecturer. He started his training as an accountant in 1988. He specializes in dealing with the Inland Revenue and has recently lectured on a wide variety of topics dealing with business growth and tax savings. Hello, Jiten. How are you?
Hi, how are you, Tom?
Very well indeed. This subject, as I was saying the first hour, seems like just about the most boring in the world. But I think, as we both would agree, also very important for people to get right. Would that be fair?
Yes, it is very important, and it's very difficult to get it right. Simply because many accountants concentrate on compliance matters and do not concentrate on wealth planning of their clients.
Well, in which case, we're looking forward, I feel sure, to hearing what you've got to say. So take it away. I think I've made you a co-host. You should be able to share your screen if you've got slides and that sort of thing if you need to. If you've got any problems, just give me a shout.
Yes, I'm trying to find my slides. here it is. Share screen. There it is.
The people in the podcast, this bit's going quite well. Just a brief pause while Jiten finds his slides. But I can tell from the webcams, everyone's having a good old time here. Seb's brought his green glasses to the party, which are my favourite glasses, I think, in the world. I haven't seen any more favourite glasses than those. Maybe with this podcast, I will publish a photo of Seb's glasses. Seb, if you could send a photo of you through with your glasses, I'll get it published with the podcast. Hello. Maybe we should publish the slides as well. How are you getting on with the slides there, Jiten? Do you need a hand with them? I think I've got them here, if that helps.
I can't upload them for on a share screen basis.
No. What's the best? I could share them from my screen, and you could tell me when to go to the next one. Would that
work? Perfect. That would work perfectly.
Okay. Why don't I I'll get them fired up on my computer. In the meantime, why don't you do your introduction, and I'll let you know when I'm able to get the slides up. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that does.
Okay. Carry on.
Hi, everyone. This is Jiten Shah from JMS Accounting Services. I've been an accountant for many, many years, since 1993. And I've also been a property investor for many, many years. In fact, I bought my first buy-to-let property in August 1995. So it is some time ago. Recently, I've been very streamlining my property portfolio, and I've been investing heavily with South North Investments Limited, based in Manchester and Cumbria. That's a bit of me. Can we have the first slide, please?
Sure. Now I feel like a secretary under a lot of pressure to get this right. Let's see what I can do here. Bring that over there, and I think we're in business. Let's try that and that. Is that working for people?
Yes, we have. That's just there. Can we go to the next page, please?
No. Oh, yes. There we go.
As you can see, I love property, and I love property accounting, and I have currently over 180 landlords who I look after, also number of property developers and builders and contractors. Can we go to the next slide? Like most accountants, I have everyday, day-to-day accountants, but also clients, and I also have some special clients who I act for. The personal rep, Mr. Gill, I've known him since for 14 years now, and been working with him quite closely on a number of tax strategies. The person on the left is none other than Mr. Dubling, whom will be better known as Holmes Under the Hammer TV show. Next slide, please. I actually came across Mr. Chowdhury 2 years ago when he came to see me, and I've been working with him ever since. Can we go for the next slide? All right, what is succession planning and wealth management? Simply aside, it is basically where you plan for the future and plan for the next generation and the future generations come by. So all your accumulated wealth is managed and looked after for years and years to come. Obviously, you don't want to burden your beneficiaries with tax liabilities at the same time, and you want to also protect what you have to and make sure that everything is intact, so that from your beneficiaries mainly. Can we have the next slide? As you see, we have now the royal family. Very well planned and construed, but obviously not everything's in heaven or heavenly made, and children often fall apart in their relationships, or go sideways, in which case it's very much a must to plan for your future and make sure all your assets are intact and looked after, even after you're gone. Can we have the next slide, please? This is a classic example of Mr. Jackson. He did have a will, but it wasn't strong enough. And unfortunately, every single family member went after the estate, leaving the kids with little or nothing from the father's accumulated wealth, as everyone else got a piece of the action. And this is a sad case, but a true fact is that if you don't plan properly and you don't, and the documents are not properly drawn up, this could happen to you. And it's very unfortunate that it has happened to Mr. Jackson, as a beneficiary of 3 children, unfortunately. Can we have the next slide, please? With all estate planning, the hardest thing to do is to protect your children from themselves more than anything else in the world. Children have habits of doing all sorts of things which will to put a strain on your estate or to put a claim on your estate. Classic examples are children from outside relationships or external relationships or divorces or alcohol abuse, drug abuse, gambling, to all sorts of things which could lead to a strain on your estate. because there'll be someone there putting a claim on the estate if the documents are not properly drawn up, and they can go after it. Can we go for the next one, please? What I thought I'd share with you is a classic case study, a little bit fictitious, but the circumstances are very, very much real in this case. A large family estate, and we're calling this Ronaldo's family problems. Classic case of parents have accumulated a large property portfolio over the years, and unfortunately, what they want to do and what they would like to do are two different things. Can we go to the next slide? Look, typical example, but it very much true, and many people relate to this, is that the family has a portfolio of very large, what you call service apartments and holiday homes, basically in zone one of London, which means it's worth well over 3 million plus. And all the assets are currently owned in the personal names and not in a company. Can we go to the next one? The main example is what happens when one of the parents dies without a will. Well, in law, everything will go virtually to the surviving spouse and everything. Unfortunately, that is not the best tax planning trick in the world, because the problem is that once the surviving spouse dies, children get lumbered with 40% inheritance tax on the whole lot. And that can amount to a lot of money on a 3 million estate. That is almost £800,000 of tax bill, which means that children will be forced to sell at least one or maybe two properties just to pay the IHT bill. And this is where catch 22 happens, is that they will not be allowed to sell any single property without probate. And to get a probate, they have to actually pay the tax bill in the first instance. Can we go to the next one, please? The other example, which I already mentioned before, is where children do not get on with each other. And this is very much true. It happens everywhere, wherever you go in all walks of life, that not everyone gets on with each other. And everyone seems to have their own plans and their own agenda with what they want to do with their estate. One of the classic examples is where one of the children wants to cash in on their share of the properties and move away, or where one of the children is actually divorced, or what happens when one of the children have legitimate children born from outside the marriage. And it happens all the time in real world, and unfortunately, if the documents are not properly drawn up, then the children, whether they're born outside the marriage or inside the marriage, have a claim on the estate, on their parents, which means they can get share of the grandfather's property, which would dilute the whole estate completely, and could make it become very, very messy. Can we go to the next one? I went too fast now. The whole idea is of estate planning is to ensure that, can we go back one? and then I'll the whole idea of the estate planning is to protect the assets of the estate in such a way that children will get income for life, and the estate can be passed from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, in a consortium without any inheritance tax in between. It's called generational IHT, and it can be a real problem. It's one where Dummett is really known, because they just made in 2017-18 5.8 billion just from inheritance tax alone. Well, one of the classic examples is that many people will favor putting their estates into trusts to protect the assets from those. The whole idea of a trust is so that trust will protect the estate from potential claims, such as from spouses, or from bad relationships, or from children going on a binge and losing it all, or gambling, or all sorts of things. Well, it happens all the time. And in this particular case, it actually happened in real life. Unfortunately, to protect the people from themselves, they're also listening on this conversation, is to, I can't reveal their names, but it has happened in real life, unfortunately, the whole lot. Well, one of the children was to sell everything and just bugger off somewhere else, in a place where no one's probably even heard of. And another child doesn't care less, less as long as they get money every month. And then another kid, they just gone through a divorce, and believe or not, their estranged husband can put a claim on the estate for up to 2 years after divorce, if they find that the spouse is or has money inherited. Now I'll tell you what I've done for the family to protect the estate from themselves. First thing was to put it into company, the whole of the estate. Reason being is that when you put the properties into a company, it's very easy to transfer shares from one beneficiary to next, because it's a paper exercise. But to move bricks and mortar from one person to next can be very hard and can be very, very expensive with legal fees, etc. And if there's mortgages or borrowing involved, they can even become even more expensive and become very much messy. By putting the properties into a limited company, I've achieved several things. Firstly, unfortunately, they have borrowings on every single property, because to buy £3 million worth of assets, no one really has that kind of money lying around in the bank or building society. So there'll be borrowings, and they were heavily geared, the properties. So we have protected the assets completely from there, all the equity value. Second thing we have done is to put the whole of the company into a trust. Now, trusts are special types of trust, and there's a special clause in the Inheritance Tax 1984, which allows for a certain trust, if certain conditions are met, to be wholly exempt from inheritance tax, capital gains tax, and income tax. But it is a mechanical process, and it means that it has to be a tick box item, which means all the boxes have to be ticked on the to qualify. one of the hardest things to do is to, once you put a company into, properties into company, is how do you value the shares, or what the share valuation is would be. The easiest thing to do, and I would recommend to even to accountants that are listening in on this conversation, is to get an agreement in principle on the value of the shares with HM Revenue and Customs in advance. Tell them exactly what you're planning to do and to do in advance, so they know and understand what you're trying to achieve, and if you achieve, and you can succeed in getting a valuation of shares now for a stage. Then you can put a whole, those shares into a trust. Trust under special kind of circumstances can be exempt, but it has to be the right type of trust. And unfortunately, people always get it wrong. And it's all to do with paperwork and with documentation. If you have the right documentation, everything can work like clockwork. The third thing you have to do is, there's no point having a trust on a property company unless you change the articles of association. You have to change the articles of association to legitimize all everything that you're doing. And one thing, so don't leave it to your children, because then your grandchildren will be left with tax bills. So always go 2-3 generations down. Trust is legally valid for 125 years, under 1971 Act. I won't bore you with such numbers, but it is totally legit. So you can have it up to 125 years, or do what Duke of Westminster did, which was on every 80th anniversary, they'll sell one trust and transfer all the assets to a new trust. And hence, it's been going for over 300 years, the trust, and each Duke of Westminster has inherited the lot without paying a single penny in income tax or capital gains tax or any other tax whatsoever, where they reap the rewards without owning a single asset, because the asset itself is owned by the trust. Certain don'ts. Don't assume that just because you're doing something, it will be agreed by HMRC. So when you plan out for something like this, make sure your advisor sets up clearly and simply exactly what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. Don't leave any guesswork for HMRC, because they will then ask questions and it can be a very lengthy affair. So make sure you're very clear on exactly what you're planning to do and what you're planning to achieve. And that way, it makes it easy for HMRC to decide and give you a decision immediately or imminently. And lastly, just be straight with HMRC. When you try and hide things or don't give information fully, or you don't, or your documentation is void on certain areas, it causes problems in later years to come. Finally, one very sad story to tell you guys and to share with you. I can guarantee you that out of about 30, 40 people that are online right now, probably only one or two have lasting powers of attorney. There's more likely chance of someone becoming ill in at any age in their lives from all sorts of things, from cancer to diabetes to kidney disease to heart attack, or just having accidents, or being knocked over by a bus, which is more likely in London than anything else. So be careful and make sure you have a lasting power, especially when you have properties. And because one thing with properties is most people will have borrowings against them. Without lasting power of attorney, those mortgage lenders will call on the mortgage as soon as you miss the first two payments. So if you want to know who really owns those properties, just miss two payments on your mortgage and you find out who really owns those properties. It's a very inexpensive way, because government have reduced the cost of last in power of the attorney from £110 per at the LPA to £82 to make it easier for everyone and accessible for everyone today. Everything. I now word about Alzheimer's disease. More and more people in the UK, the last statistic was that 1 in 7 suffers from dementia. It's a very sad thing to do, but dementia is where you slowly forget about all the things that are normal or natural to you. It happened to me as well, where my mother passed away, and in the last few days of her survival, she even forgot the names of her own children. So it does happen, these things do happen, so you have to be very careful, and last in power of attorney can protect you. One word of warning, without last in power of attorney, if you have assets and you put into a care home by local authority, because you can't manage to look after yourself, then one thing for certain is that you will, local authority will possess your property and sell it, and the proceeds used to pay for your care costs. So if you want to have your property intact, very important to have a health and welfare lasting power of attorney in place, because that will protect you and ensure the property remains intact. Next slide, please. These are my details. I'm always reachable. My phones are normally open from about 8 in the morning till about 11 at night. I tend to switch off my phones around 11 o'clock at night, just so I can get some sleep. But people do send me messages all across, all times there, the times of the day, via email and via text messages, etc., and via Facebook Messenger. So I am always reachable. And for those people that don't know, I've just moved my office from Stanmore Business Innovation Center to next door to Devonshire House, which is right next to the fire brigade, just in case I decide to blow up the building. Next slide. Tom. Can't hear you. Hello, now I'm doing a special promotion where anyone can join in. I'm trying to set up a private WhatsApp group where I'll be able to answer any questions whatsoever, from anything to do with accounts, tax, to property, right? And I am being very, very sharp on taking advantage of the current COVID-19. And 19 days, unfortunately, they've been very, very motivated sellers around. So I've been investing heavily in the Northwest area currently, where margins are much, much better there. So I'll be quoting, I can answer questions, anything on incorporation. I have incorporated 113 landlords from sole ownerships via partnerships to private limited companies. 38 of them have gone to form family investment trusts, which is a way of setting up and saving tax, especially when you have large estates involved. And you were trying to, there are quite a few landlords that I met recently who have estates well over £10 million of sterling. And I saw a message from Mr. Yogesh, school fees. Good thing about this, once you incorporate, you can pay a salary to your grown-up children once they're age of 16, and that will pay for their school fees and give them dividends. First £2,000 worth of dividends per annum is totally tax-free, and everyone's entitled to £12,500 worth of personal allowances per annum. So in total, you have access to £14,500 worth of income without paying a single penny in tax whatsoever. And if you have young children, that's easy. Just make an adult a nominee and can give the nominee a dividend, which you go directly into children's savings accounts in a friendly bank or a building society. I would not recommend Metro Bank for obvious reasons, but any other bank would or business society would be okay. I would strongly recommend Halifax or Santander Bank because they offer nice children's accounts and other things. Other thing which people may consider is employ. A lot of people get help from their children in managing their properties. So why not give them a salary? Make them part of your estate and estate rather than leaving it for another day. Simple way, it saves taxes and it gives them an objective and a motivation to help you even more in managing your properties and your estates. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Jiten. Great stuff. We've got plenty of questions, which we'll so that the podcast makes some sense. We'll get people to probably ask the questions, and then you can answer them if that's okay. Just again for the benefit of the podcast, with Jiten's agreement, we'll be publishing the slides and this last slide, which Jiten was kindly just talking to, says that he'll be doing he's happy to do a 1-hour deep dive into incorporating and saving thousands in tax. He's sorting out a private WhatsApp group where you can ask questions and learn from other people. So if you're interested in that, drop him an email, jiten@yourtaxsaver.co.uk, and quote the YouTube promotion. But again, as I say, well, that's on the slides and I'll be publishing that. I think we've lost the main man, Jiten, but that's good timing in a way, because I can do some filling if necessary. I can do songs. I've got Frank Sinatra in the locker. I do a decent Guns N' Roses, only certain songs there, and Under the Bridge in an emergency. I think for everyone's mental health, we should.
We deserve one song.
Surely what we deserve is no songs. I think Jiten's back to save my songly bacon. But for anyone interested, there are two great karaoke venues in Manchester where I can often be found, both in Chinatown, I think. Let's crack on. For the love of God, to some questions, which we have plenty of. I'm trying to scroll up to the first one. I think it might have come in from Colin. Where's Colin's question? Why don't I stop trying to scroll for it and ask Colin to ask his own question? First of all, should we check? You here, Jiten, and ready for some questions?
Yes, I am here.
Great stuff. Colin.
Hi, Jiten. Thanks for that. That was very interesting. So you mentioned the Duke of Westminster changes his trust every 80 years. Is there a cost to closing down one trust and transferring all the assets to another one?
It is, but normally, and he has very expensive solicitors, that I think they're charging £3,000 each time to change over from one, that it's a paper exercise. So obviously, the cost can be much less, but he actually pays £3,000 each time.
But there's no tax cost in terms of putting assets into a trust as well.
It's originally transferring from one trust, existing trust, to a new trust.
I see. Thank you.
I like the way you specified that the Duke of Westminster has expensive solicitors, because I'll be honest, I always assumed he did. If the Duke of Westminster doesn't have expensive solicitors, then who does? But that's great stuff. Thank you very much. Next question comes from Mr. Glasses himself. Seb, what was your question, sir?
I don't know anymore. I asked quite a few.
Okay, well, pick one.
Give me a second. Yeah, so first of all, great presentation. Thank you for that. And the reason why I'm online today is actually in my friend circle in Germany, I have exactly one of these cases where they are now fighting over real estate, over depots, over portfolios, over shares and whatsoever. And I can actually see and feel how messy this is, and this is not what it should be. And one of the questions I had was, I'm building up a property portfolio at the minute, and what would be the best advice from the very beginning you could give somebody like me?
The first thing to do is to have professional advisors from day one, because once they're on board, then you can achieve what you want to achieve from day one. It's very hard for a professional advisor to come in halfway through and change things around after the door has been bolted.
Yeah.
When you're building portfolio, it's easiest thing to do is from day one to buy assets in limited company. This is a little bit more expensive when it comes to stamp duty, but it does save you a lot of money because all your mortgage interest costs will be tax deductible.
Yeah.
And the corporation tax is only 19% in United Kingdom, and it's going to go down eventually to 17%, probably in April 2023. I can't see it happening any sooner than that. The way Mr. Sunak is spending money, like there's no tomorrow, but it will happen, I reckon, in next 2 to 3 years, it will go down to 70% because people need to save taxes. And UK needs to be at the forefront of Europe, and in most European countries, especially Netherlands and Cyprus, taxes less than 10%, and Malta, etc., for companies. So for UK to compete with those sort of markets, it needs to be more competitive. Even in United States, the tax is much cheaper than United Kingdom, even though every single American you meet will moan about the taxes. Tell them to come and live in the UK for a change, and then they'll realize exactly how much better off they are in. There's a maximum rate in the United States is 35%. In UK, we have 40 and 45% rates of income tax.
Yeah.
One of my... please, sir.
And the second question which I wanted to ask is, my strategy is actually I want to sort out the next 5 generations. That's why it suited me that you mentioned 2 to 3. But can I actually now state down if I found a trust that after or when the 80th anniversary is going to happen, that it needs to be transferred in a new trust? Because if I'm dead already, I don't know what they are doing anyway. So
you have a letter of wishes assigned to as part of your trust, but not part of the main trust, but assigned to the trust, so the trustees know that it is your wish for the old trust to fold, to form a new trust, so it goes into paternity.
That sounds good.
Normally, a letter of wish is a simple exercise. You can do it on a piece of paper, yeah, even a loop paper would do, as long as signed and witnessed, it's perfectly legally binding in the United Kingdom.
Can I just ask a question on the trust? If you have a trust and you've got some property in a trust, but you've also got a limited company which has property, are you able to transfer the property from the limited property into the trust? And is it at great cost?
You can assign shares from your limited company into the trust. The cost should not be that much, but for transferring shares. But if the trust needs to be set up or needs to be changed in any shape or form, then it can be expensive.
No, the trust is already there.
Then it should be very easy for you, for any accountant or a tax solicitor, not a normal solicitor, but a tax solicitor, to transfer shares from a limited company into the trust.
Thanks.
Great stuff. We've got some iPhone MPs just joined us. I'm not sure if that's an MP on their iPhone or if that's a member of parliament. That could be our first member of parliament here, or it could just be someone called Melanie Price or something like that. So it could be either way. That quite a lot of chat in the chat about my offer to do singing. I think we should probably put that in a separate week, and I'm worried, to be honest, that attendance will be very low and possibly noisy. So keep your eyes out for that one if I get drunk or get some courage up. In the meantime, let's much more interestingly go over to some more questions. Let's go to Yogesh. You can have let's do one or two questions, Yogesh, and then see if anyone else has got in. I know you've got quite a few there.
I was told I only allowed one. Hi Jitin, nice to see you. Thanks for the lovely talk. Let's go back to the school fee. So I've got a 10-year-old. So are you saying that there's a way where I can pay the private school?
Yeah, I'm sure the 10-year-old son has any uncles or aunties around.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Yes, good.
So there's a way you can effectively pay the school fees from pre-tax company profits. Is that true?
Yes, that is.
Okay, fantastic. I'll come back to you on that. But that's pretty amazing, I think. What was my other question? If you buy a property in personal name, a legal title, personal name, can you make it for the beneficial interest of the trust to avoiding you, usually because you're using a mortgage company with this? Is that still legal? Does the tax still belong to the trust and not to you, to the personal named individual? Is that possible?
You can assign all liabilities from your personal names to a trust, beneficial trust.
Okay.
Trust, it's a very common way of doing it. In more cases, you know, for certain lenders, you need their consent for certain lenders, but I never yet met a lender who said no.
Okay, that's good.
Because normally lenders are all they're concerned about is making sure they get paid every month, the monthly mortgage interest amount or amount.
Okay.
In mortgage, if you want, trust can have a mortgage, but it will need to be a commercial mortgage. Right now, the only high street lender that does commercial mortgages for trust is Lloyds. Okay. They're the only lenders that do it right now. NatWest did a few, but NatWest is owned by the government, so it's a no-go area.
I was told
Barclays do it, but it's not their hottest subject.
I was told Handels Bank do it. I was told.
Handels Bank, I have a direct relationship with Ealing branch of Handels Bank. And to be honest, they don't understand it.
Okay.
But they do what I noticed, they'd like to take a legal advice, and as long as the legal advice is okay, they do it.
Okay, last question I'll ask. How long do HMRC have to go back on your tax affairs? How long, you know, once it's a certain number of years,
They normally have 2 years to open an aspect inquiry.
2 years.
If the aspect inquiry reveals any form of fraud or misgivings, they can go back as many years as they want. They can go back 25, 30, 40 years if they want to, if they find anything wrong.
So is that 2 years from when you file the account?
2 years from 31st January. So let's say this is, we're doing now 1920. Your tax is due by 31st of January 2021. They have until 28th of February 2023 to open an inquiry.
Oh, so it's from the tax year. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'll let other people ask questions, but thank you for those answers. I've got more, but I'm sure other people have got questions too.
Just another 4 months to go, 4 or 5 months to go, Yogesh, and you can relax. Yes. and my uncle, on another point, used to work as a fairly major tax guy. What's the word for a tax guy? Tax inspector, I guess. Whatever the head of a tax inspection office is in the east of England. This is 30 years ago, so things may have changed. But I was asking...
I actually have a HM Revenue Inspector of Taxes in my books, who I do a transfer. The person actually owns 9 properties, and I incorporated them in May 2018.
Cool. That might have been my uncle. But he said that, because I was asking him the same question, and he said more or less the same thing, which is that the tax HMRC, whatever, can go back as far as they want. But I said, in reality, in the 30 years he worked there, they only went back more than 2 years, about a few times, and it was pretty much always for big companies, because the amount of paperwork they needed to provide to the government to say, this is why we want to go back further than that, made it so expensive for them that they didn't bother unless there was a lot of money.
If they want to go back further more than 2 years, they need to get a court order.
Right.
And court orders in UK, every single judge will always trick us with a pinch of salt. So revenue need to come up with very good reasons to go back, because otherwise the judge will just throw it out.
Yeah.
And I'm used to going to high courts all the time on behalf of my clients. So there are a number of people on this listening, and they know that I'm very good at arguing and can be very tenacious.
You sound like you're good at arguing, to be honest. I mean, I'm glad we're not having an argument, because I feel like I would definitely lose. Funnily enough, I get the same impression with my uncle, so maybe it runs with anybody who deals with tax, that they just don't need to be very good at arguing things. But it's great to have you on and have a chat. I had a question, which is, you've mentioned trusts, and I've heard those mentions before a lot. From what you said, there's lots of different kinds of trusts, and I'm guessing that that's where getting good professional advice comes in, to decide what kind of trust you need. Would that be right?
In the UK, there are just over 25,000 different types of trusts. Jeez. Available. So it can be a real minefield for a person who's not doesn't know their way around. A trust, it can be a very, very expensive way of doing it.
Yeah. My next and probably last question for now is about...
Someone just asked me a question. Is this going to be on podcast?
Yeah, good question. You can ask me questions if you like. And yes, it is, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, okay, man. Narinda, it's on podcast. So you can download it.
Yeah, there you go, Narinda. And indeed, the whole world, they can also download it, but mostly Narinda, and we appreciate them listening. With powers of attorney, you mentioned how important that is. Just... let's take me as an example. So I've got a mother who I'm pleased to say is in many ways smarter than me, but she's 70. So, you know, things may change. And like you say, she may get dementia or whatever, forget where her keys are. And how will power of attorney help me in this sense with tax or anything like that? Or have I misunderstood?
Right. Does your mother have Is she in care home or is she in her own home?
At the moment, she's in her own home because she's fine. But you know, in 5-10 years, she might not be. She might listen to this. Sorry, Mum. Maybe she'll be furious. She'll be playing tennis. But yeah, let's imagine she's unwell for a moment. Yeah.
If she's unwell, the Lotto Authority have a duty of care, and the DSS, and if she's unwell to look after herself, they will obviously try everything for her to be taken care of at home, because they don't like moving people around when they're a little bit older to care homes where it's in a strange environment, etc.
Okay.
So they like to leave people in their own homes if they can manage it. But they do owe a duty of care. And if children or beneficiaries cannot look after their family members, they will be taken away from the homes and put into care homes. It's a legal requirement now for every single borough or council in the United Kingdom.
Okay. And how will having a... And my guess is that once, for example, my mum goes into a care home, she's going to hate this, once my mum goes into a care home next week, say, the council will basically go after her estate for the money to pay for it. Is that right?
Yeah, normally they'll take charge of her property. If the property is in her name, they will take charge of that property and look to sell the proceeds at an auction or via a well-known notary agent. They will try and sell the property to pay for the cost. If there's any surplus money left, then the council just made won a bingo.
Yeah, right. So how do I protect against that? How do I make it so that doesn't happen?
With the power of attorney, if you're looking after your mum and you're living in the property to look after the mum, guess what? You can take full control of the property using power of attorney. So Lotto Authority will never get their hands on the property because they will never be able to have you evicted from the property. It's
right.
As simple as such, where you take charge of the property, go to a very friendly solicitor and say declare the property or a share of the property in your name. And very easy to do, very inexpensive, and that's it. And then once it's you take a charge of the property, it can you can do as you see fit and decide what you want to do. I mean, many people, and we go to the example of Mr. Ronaldo, where the son wanted to put the mother into a care home and sold this property just to pay for the cost, because local authorities said she has X number of assets, so we're not going to pay for it. You have to pay for it out of your own funds.
Okay. If you mentioned if that's excellent, but if you mentioned that if I live with my mum or parents, and at the moment I don't, does that, if I don't live with them, does that mean I've got more limited choices? Or can I still do something?
Yes, one family member or someone you know and trust to live with them.
Okay.
And look
right.
after them.
Got you. And presumably, if I do more planning a bit more in advance and get her
you probably want someone you know and trust to look after them rather than a total stranger.
Yeah, I'll just send anyone round. I don't know if anyone's available. As well, if I was able to plan more in advance, for example, now, then presumably I could transfer her assets into a trust or a limited company, and then that would protect them as well, because the council wouldn't be able to access them if it was in a correctly organized trust. Would that be your understanding?
Yes, that's perfectly correct.
Brilliant. Well, that sounds something worth looking into. Has anyone else, we've got a few minutes left, has anyone else got any final questions? If not, I'll ask Yogesh again, because I'm sure he's got some. John's got one. I nearly said Colin then. John.
Some haircut. I put it in the chat. I just wanted to, I'm not sure if I misunderstood before what you said in terms of setting up the shares of a limited company and if that company has a mortgage on a property. So what I understood was that a good setup is have a limited company, set up a trust, transfer company shares using a solicitor into the trust. But did I understand that you said that it's very difficult and very limited options to get mortgages on companies that have those shares in the trust with that setup, or did I misunderstand that?
No, you can get a mortgage, but more often than not, you have to go for a commercial borrowing rather than a normal buy-to-let borrowing. Because buy-to-let lenders will run a mile if the property is owned by a trust, but you have to go for commercial borrowing or through specialist lending. There are a lot of specialist lenders around, and the last time there were over 80 available in United Kingdom, specialist lenders who do lend to in those scenarios. But by far the cheapest out of a lot of them is Lloyds Bank. But problem is Lloyds Bank are not in a very good lending mood these days. So you have to sometimes go to specialist lenders.
Okay. And when you say commercial, do you mean as in true commercial, as in if it's a bricks and mortar property, you're unlikely to get it, or a company that would lend to a limited company? Or was it a blend of the two?
You need to go to specialist lenders such as, let's take for example, Barclays, because I know exactly how they work. Barclays would give you a commercial borrowing. Normally, with all commercial borrowings, arrangement fee starts at 1.5% of the borrowing. So let's say you have 100,000 borrowing, the fees will be £1,500. Normally, commercial lending these days starts at 2.25% over LIBOR. So it's slightly more dearer than normal traditional buy-to-let mortgage.
Okay.
But there, you can borrow money against the trust, and trust can lend and borrow money.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Can I expand on that? So if the limited company has given it, some of its shares to a trust, is that still an issue?
Not an issue. As long as it's unencumbered, the property. If there's a mortgage on it, then you do need to get a consent of the lender. And many lenders, if it's a buy-to-let mortgage, will ask you to redeem a mortgage and go for a commercial lending.
Yeah, in short, it sounds like buy-to-let lenders don't like, normal buy-to-let lenders don't like holding properties where some of the ownership is with a trust.
No, because what happens in reality is that for normal buy-to-let lenders, their covenant is based on the asset. If the asset's owned by a trust, to go after trust to say, look, we won't take possession of this property is where the dumb sack lot harder than normal people.
Okay. Finally, on a slightly different note, who do you support, Jiten? Let's try and get half the people here to hate you straight away.
Man United, of course.
There we go. That's done the job, I feel sure. Well done. Yeah, Chris is... for those who want to hate me as well, feel free, because I'm off to watch the Merseyside derby in a moment. I'm very much hoping that Everton win for the first time in exactly 10 years. So that's exciting. Yeah, thank you, Chris. Chris hates everything. He just hates football, I think. so that's that dealt with. I'd like to thank Colin for co-hosting, Jiten, mostly for speaking. Excellent talk today, really appreciate it. Tune in next week, we'll be doing a mastermind group. Very much appreciate both our sort of normal viewers, if you like, and people who I think we've got a few people who have come especially to see GTN and lending us your time and your ears. And feel free to come back if you've enjoyed yourself. We do this every week and talk about property in Manchester and the Northwest. If anyone has any feedback or ideas for future topics, or even better, know any great speakers like GTN, then do let me know and we'll get them booked in. And we have an amazing WhatsApp group Cup of Coffee WhatsApp group. When I leave in a moment, I'll leave the meeting open. If you want to be added to that, then you've qualified because you've turned up for today's meeting. Feel free to pop your full name, so that's first name and surname, and your phone number into the chat. That's all I need, and I'll get you added to the WhatsApp group where we have about 205 people chatting about all things Manchester property every day. Thank you all very much for coming, and have a great weekend.